Well, you didn't think that you would be having a little bit of history this morning, did you? Welcome to the program, 1180 WFYL. Mike Levin's here, and we have a special guest in studio. We'll tell you about in just a moment, but just to kind of preface some different things I talked about before, add a little bit of closure to these. This whole Donald Trump issue, his comments, like I said before, we need to be able to admit to ourselves that he was not necessarily talking about the entire Mexican population. He even said that in his quote. And we need to move beyond this adolescent rush to anger. Is it appropriate that I call it that? Well, New York City may remove all of their business ties with the Trump. And what are we seeing in America? Are we seeing a punishment for your views? We're seeing a punishment if you disagree. So all of the people who advocate for liberty and freedom, and he even goes, yes, even into homosexual marriage, who advocate for liberty, freedom, and equality, that stops as soon as you disagree with their definition of liberty, freedom, and equality. That's why I say this isn't really about liberty, freedom, and equality. This is about one thing. This is a spiritual issue and a spiritual battle, I believe, for our nation. 610-539-TALK, the number to call. Just to put a bow on that, we have joining us in studio, and you didn't think that you were going to be... getting history this morning. But history teacher from, is it Marple Newtown? Am I saying that right?
Marple Newtown.
Marple Newtown. You've been teaching there how long now?
22 years.
22 years. Pleasure to have you on. I Marple Newtown High School. Go ahead and just introduce yourself to our audience, why don't you? I don't know that I'm too good at these sometimes.
Well, my name is Arch Hunter, and I've been teaching in Marple Newtown now for 22 years, and I teach American history.
Now, you have a degree in American history.
I do.
So you're not just a fly-by-night teacher. You actually went to school, studied American history, and you are now teaching it to the next generation.
I am.
And you've been doing that for 20 years.
22 years.
22 years.
22 years.
Has there been a lot of change over those 22 years?
There has been a lot of change. Most of the change that I have seen is actually for the positive.
Good.
I see more and more each year, more and more of the students have more of an interest in American history.
See, and what I want people to understand, too, is that we cannot be afraid of the truth. Because many people, and this is one thing I know with Common Core in particular, has been a big issue with people. They're very afraid of it. With this being passed or trying to be implemented in our schools, we cannot say that everything, even though it may be tempting because of news like that, that everything is bad. See, we have to be willing to acknowledge the truth, which you say, Arch, that the situation overall has actually gotten better, and you say because students are actually wanting to learn more about American history. You must be doing a good job teaching them then.
Well, we hope so, Michael. 10 years ago, administration suggested to us teachers that we have more freedom in what we teach. We have more electives. I went to our administration and suggested that I teach a course on the Revolution and Civil War and another course on World War II and Vietnam. And our administration said, let's see if we have any interest in it. Some of my colleagues told me that no kid will sign up for those courses. I just finished my 10th year.
10 years.
With those two courses. And I had 195 kids in past year in those courses.
See, people, they are thirsty for this information. See, that's what happens when you may have the information withheld in whatever form or fashion. that eventually a generation comes along that says, we want to learn about this, and you're seeing that.
And one of the reasons, Michael, that we see that is because historians study history through the idea of human behavior. Something happens between how we study it and how we teach it. And oftentimes we teach it as just facts and dates that has no relevance. History is a study of human behavior. It is not a memorization of facts and dates. We, as historians and history teachers, need to have the understanding of teaching history as human behavior. How do human beings react in time and why they reacted that way, to try to understand what is going on, which then causes us to be serious students of American history. I don't consider myself to be an historian. I don't consider myself to be an expert. I'm a student of American history, which causes me to continually want to learn and dig and understand human behavior in time.
And you would think that someone in your view who may, because history is a very intensive subject, you have to know details, you have to know why, the implications of the events that happened in their time, that it would be so easy to say that, well, I do know all these things, and there is light at the end of the tunnel, there is a Shangri-La in the study of history, and I have reached it. And the fact that you say that you are still a student, very commendable, by the way. We're all lifelong students, if you will. And that, I'm sure, is exemplified in your students. Now, Arch, you wanted to talk about the Constitution this morning and how it really came to be. So, and I've never, by the way, heard history explained that way. I love history. I personally do. I actually like ancient history, and Roman history in particular has intrigued me for one reason or another, probably because I'm Italian. But you've taught for 22 years, and I never heard of history described in that way, that it is the study of human behavior, not just facts and figures. And thinking about it, you're absolutely right, because that is what I believe draws me to history, because we see, of course, the common phrase, history repeats itself, and we see that happen. Well, tell us about the Constitution. Tell us about the Constitutional Convention that happened right here in Philadelphia.
Well, we have to look back at what got us there. What got us to the Constitution? So you have to back up to the Articles of the Confederation. You have to back up to the Declaration of Independence. You have to back up to the Articles of Association. And then you have to come forward. What got us to the Constitutional Convention was that the Articles of Confederation were not working. After the American Revolution, our founders set up the Articles of Confederation, and we actually had 13 different countries who were small u United States. And because of that, each state, each colony had its own monetary system, had its own laws, had its own navigational laws, and the laws of, per se, Pennsylvania didn't necessarily apply to New Jersey or Virginia or Rhode Island. And so we really actually had 13 different small countries unified, small u, in the Articles of Confederation. And they didn't have the power to tax. They didn't really have the power to protect us. And as time went on, and as human beings are, and human nature is, every little colony or state now wanted to have sovereignty and control over the other states. And so things began to unravel, particularly economically, specifically in the navigation and control. And we see that the best example of that is Shays' Rebellion. After the Revolution, our government was seriously in debt. It needed to pay that debt off. How do you do that? Through taxation. Daniel Shea and other farmers decided that they could not and they would not pay the taxes to the state to help pay off this debt. So what happened was there was no power to really to force them to pay those taxes. And because of Shea's rebellion, it was the example of we needed to have either amended Articles of Confederation or come up with a new system of government. And our founders were extremely sensitive to having any type of government that would have control and domination over our freedom, coming out of the monarchy system of Great Britain. They were extremely sensitive that they did not want a government that was going to have ultimate control over the citizens. So there was many who felt that the Articles of Confederation was simply fine. There was others who thought it needed to be amended. And there was a few that thought we needed to have a total change.
Your history lesson with Arch Hunter, Mike Levins at New Day on 1180 WFYL will continue in a moment.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Being considerate and generous towards the needs of others is important to God. From Scripture, we know that God loves a cheerful giver.
Hi, I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. Blessing others can be a great motivation for us to consistently save and invest. Over the years, I have worked with many believers like you to help them develop a plan that allows them to give generously, save responsibly, and spend wisely.
For solid biblical financial planning, call MFB Wealth Management at 215-723-8999. MFB stands for My Father's Business from Luke 2:49, when Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999. Also on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Your history lesson continuing with Arch Hunter. I'm not really doing much of the history here. I said my name there, but I'm not really doing much of the history. Arch Hunter joining us, who's a teacher at Marple Newtown, and is joining us. He is his degree in history, has taught for 22 years, and we're talking about the Constitution. You could call in if you have a question to pick Arch's brain. You could call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. History being the study of human behavior. That's an idea I've never heard before, and you put it that way to me before, and I love history, and I've never heard it that way before, and I do think that really cuts to the core of what history is. So, the study of human behavior now, we're looking at the Constitution. And the call for the Constitutional Convention. Archie, you were painting a picture for us of what it looked like back at the time before the convention, and we had the Articles of Confederation.
That is correct. And with the Articles of Confederation, we had large states and small states. We had states that were more agricultural in their economy. We had states that were more exporting and importing in their economy, particularly in the southern states. So in the southern states, they were much more concerned about the navigational laws than they were in the New England states. And we had this problem with there was more loyalty to their states than to a federal government, which was very small and very weak at the time. So we began to go through this struggle with what's going to happen. Can we continue as a nation with united colonies with that were sovereign, or more of an understanding of having a federal government that had limited power and more power within the states? And that was the major struggle that our founders had to wrestle through and go through as we began to go through this process. And this was an evolution, Michael. This was an evolution of thinking. This is an evolution in government. And with the Constitution, it was an evolution of this small fledgling nation that most of the world, particularly England, thought it would fail.
Historically, had this ever been done before?
No. Our Constitution and our government was the first who really was a democratic republic. Obviously, the Greeks gave us the idea of democracy. This had never been done before. This had never happened before. This was the first. And with our Constitution and the writing of our Constitution, it is now the longest surviving Constitution in the history of the world.
Now, even with the Roman Empire, this started off as having a Senate. Even that, you would say, is different from what we were doing in America.
It was. It was because there was still one dictatorial ruler, Caesar, the emperor. Our founders rejected a monarchy because our founders were convinced that the rights of human beings did not come from man, came from God.
And historically, you obviously, we can argue, we see that evidenced in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. But beyond those, you can make an argument for that idea that our rights and liberties came from a higher power, God. You could make that argument historically as a student of history.
We can. When we look at our founders, we look at their backgrounds, we looked at what they believed, whether some of our founders, and a few of them were deists. Most of our founding fathers, the 55 that were at the Constitutional Convention, 49 of the 55 were in mainstream, so to speak, Christianity. And even the few that were deists still had an understanding that there is an Almighty, there is providence, and there is a higher power. And what they stood on was that our liberty and mankind had rights because we were human beings. We were endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And it wasn't by chance that was written and placed in there, that we don't have power, we don't have authority, rights aren't granted to us by humans, by a monarchy, by someone who has more riches than us. That because we were born, because we are human, we have unalienable rights that can never be taken away. And the reason they can never be taken away, because they're not given to us by man. They're not granted to us by man. They're there because we are human beings, because coming from the Creator.
I think I would have enjoyed having you as a history teacher in school. 610-539-TALK if you would like to ask Arch a question about history. Now, Arch, take me into the convention now. We've set the backdrop. Tell me about the convention. Tell me about what happened. How did it start? What came of it? And what was the atmosphere of it?
There was great contention of whether there even should be a convention or not. And at first, we see that there was a smaller meeting in Annapolis. And Alexander Hamilton, by the way, our founding fathers, most of them were very young. Alexander Hamilton was 31 years old. The two oldest men at the Constitutional Convention was Benjamin Franklin, who was 71, and my favorite, Roger Sherman. He was 66. The average age of these men at the convention were 44. So these are not old men. These are most of the framers were very young. And Alexander Hamilton was the one who suggested that we at least have a convention in Annapolis to try to amend the Articles of Confederation. And we have these, obviously, this opposing viewpoints, many of them were still extremely sensitive, that if we leave the Articles of Confederation or we amend the Articles of Confederation, then the power granted to us from God in states would be taken away, and we would again move towards having some sort of a monarchy in the federal government. So the contention was immediate, and the contention was hot, and the contention was greatly debated over a long period of time of actually what should happen. And ultimately, the Congress, under the Articles of Confederation, finally agreed that we should at least meet and have a convention to see if we can modify or add to the Articles of Confederation, which that brought them to Philadelphia in 1787.
Which, little did they know, they would come out with the founding document of our nation coming with the Constitution, and that they would have the foundation, the building blocks for the nation in which we live today. It's a great illustration of what men can do, and I think an interesting painting when we talk about the first time in history that men are coming together to guarantee the rights that are inherent as being men, and a government of men, but yet the atmosphere of being under God, acknowledging a creator, and being submitted to even possibly Christianity, now changing around, though, where we're putting man at the top.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. There's an active shooting situation reported at the Navy Yard in Washington. Live now to Fox News Radio's John Decker in D.C.
Fox News has confirmed that there is an active shooter at the Washington Navy Yard. No casualties have been reported, but currently the Navy Yard is on lockdown, and there's a large police presence around the facility. The FBI's Capital Response Squad is now on site, and police have already closed off a large perimeter around the facility. We're now getting confirmation that police have focused their attention on building 197 on the southwest corner of the facility. The Navy Yard is located less than a mile south of the U.S. Capitol. In 2013, a gunman who got into a building at the Navy Yard killed 12 people and injured three others. He was fatally shot by a Washington Metropolitan Police officer. Chris?
John Decker, thanks. This is a Fox News alert.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country's the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
The Constitution preserves the advantage of being armed, which Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, where the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. A quote from James Madison.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.